fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today you'll be listening to Jacob Gibbs, pastor of the Cedar Lake Seventh-day Adventist Church in Cedar Lake, Michigan. Now, here's Pastor Jacob.
You know, it's marvelous to see, I mentioned it before, you know, the first time you go into the room at night, you know, those moments of like, mommy's here or daddy's here. It's like extremely super happy time. Why can't we have that with our Savior? Let's have that with Jesus and the Father. Let's be joyful in His presence. And by faith, He is here. I'm going to bow and pray for an extra blessing to be on the preacher. Father, we want to ask that You would be upon the preacher. We pray, Father, that the Word would speak and do what it's called to do. Heal hearts, encourage hearts, convict hearts, move hearts to go forward, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last few messages have been on pretty much Judges and Gideon. Two messages ago, we talked about the cycle of Judges. Last week, we talked about Joash's mixed up faith. That would be Gideon's dad. And today, we're looking at the title, A Fleece Woven in Fear. Has the fleece been misunderstood all these centuries? And if you're familiar with the story, you understand what it means to, well, God, I'm throwing out a fleece. We typically use Gideon's story as evidence for throwing the fleece out. But as we look into the story of Gideon, maybe he's not the best example to follow. Especially when we're trying to bargain with God to know His will. Now, we tend to use Gideon's fleece, not typically how Gideon uses it. So if we're perplexed between two schools, both schools are good. God, show me the way. Or we're wondering between two different calls for jobs. Both jobs are fine. And we say, God, guide me. There's nothing wrong with using a fleece that way, but that's not how Gideon used the fleece. So let's go over what Gideon did with the fleece. He had a question. And he wasn't sure of the answer. Let's read it in Judges chapter 6, verse 36. Judges is in the beginning part of the Bible. Judges chapter 6, verse 36. So Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said," then he says, "I'll put a fleece out." And then he determined the test with God. Did he know the answer already before the fleece was thrown out? Look at verse 14 through 16 of Judges chapter 6. Did he know? Of course he knew. Then the Lord, you know, he was there and he was doing the whole like wheat thing and the wine thing. And he was preparing food for his household. And then God shows up and I was like, whoa, this is crazy. And God speaks to him through the angel. And he's kind of startled for a moment. Then the Lord turned to him, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" Did Gideon know? In the same chapter, he knew the answer. So he said to him, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." Verse 15, verse 16. And the Lord said to him, "Surely, I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." So like, God repeated the answer again. But he still wondered if this messenger was truly connected with the Lord, so he asked for a sign. And so he gets the sacrifice all ready. And he says, "I'm going to get a sacrifice. Will you give me a sign through this sacrifice?" And then the angel of the Lord says, "Yes, go get the sacrifice." So he gets it prepared. And what happens? The angel had a staff, and at the end, he reaches his staff out and just touches this animal, this dead carcass, and up in flames. Then he gets a sign that, yes, this is truly a message from God. In verse 22, now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So God says it twice in a sense, and then he ignites the sacrifice. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Did he know the answer? He knew the answer. So why the fleece? For Gideon, it was a clear message from God. I can imagine Eve standing around that tree, and she sees the fruit, and she says, God, give me a sign that I shouldn't eat this. Or give me a sign that I should eat this. And then, oh, there's a talking snake. That's a sign. No, that's similar to what Gideon did. Gideon knew. Gideon knew. Sometimes we know, and we still try to cast out a fleece. Lord, give me a sign. Some things are very clear in the Word. Salvation by grace alone is very clear. But we're always trying to work towards our salvation. Sabbath is a clear sign in Scripture. It's clearly indicated in Scripture. But sometimes when we see it, we're like, Lord, should I go to church today? These are just a few clear things in Scripture. Sometimes, Lord, when there's been nothing wrong in the family, Lord, should I get a divorce? There's been no adultery. Lord, should I get a divorce? Give me a sign. We got to be very careful with that. The Lord's will is, He never wants us to have divorce. We got to be very careful with how we use this fleece idea. So, what is this fleece all about? So, let's look at the context. Many people are amazed when they read through the Gideon story. It climbs and climbs and climbs. God shows up to Gideon. Gideon responds, alas, I saw God. He sees the sign. He sees the miracle. And then God tells him, hey, I want you to, and we learned this last week, I want you to go to your father's house and destroy the altar of Baal. And he does. And he doesn't get killed for it. Because his dad understood. His dad learned about the angel account before he destroyed his dad, who didn't have the faith to stand strong for God, realized that he needed to stand strong and back down the community who wanted to kill Gideon. And then Gideon blows the trumpet in chapter 6, the shofar, the horn, and all the people around hear him blowing this trumpet, and they gather. How many people gathered? 32,000 people gathered. So we see the momentum building, but then there's this pause. The author puts a pause here, and it makes the reader wonder what's going on, because it seemed like it was going a good direction. And sometimes in life, things seem like they're going a good direction, but then something happens. There's a pause. What happened? Verse 3 of chapter 7. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people. So this is when they're all gathered. This is after the fleece episode. He kind of gets the confidence. But we're using this to help us understand why the fleece. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. How many people turned away? How many? 22,000. How many people were there? 10,000. That means how many, give me the fraction of how many people in that army were afraid. 2/3 were afraid. When 2/3 of the crowd are afraid, it's very contagious to be fearful. As the people gathered around Gideon, they were plagued with a pandemic of fear. A pandemic of fear. For the past 7 years, they lost their livelihood. They could not work in their farms without the fear of their livelihood, their food, their jobs being destroyed. They worked in fear for the last 7 years. Is there a pandemic of fear today? There is a pandemic of fear today. They lost their jobs. They lost their houses when the Midianites came, because the Bible says that they had to go and hide in caves and dens, and they had to go to the strongholds. They couldn't live in their homes anymore. They were suffering from fear. And Edmund Burke says, "No passion so effectually robs the mind of all its powers of acting and reasoning as fear." Fear has a crippling effect. And I believe before the end comes, this pandemic of fear has to get worse. Because fear causes people to give up things. There is a pandemic of fear. So what was happening with Gideon? Before he blew the trumpet, I believe he was pretty confident. But then when he mixed with 2/3 fear people, that contagious fear element seeped into his heart. And maybe he realized the call of God was a call to mission, a call of God was to go forward. However, he started counting the cost. He realized that this army wasn't trained. For the last 7 years, they were living in fear. They weren't trained. They were rusty. He realized that the Midianites were trained. They had the military advantage of camels, war camels. Before, you know, when God called them in the wine press, yeah, sounds great. When God called them before the sacrifice, yeah, that's amazing, miracle. When God called him to go to destroy the altar, he did. When God called him to blow the horn, he did, and all the people show up. But now it starts creeping in that, you know, Gideon, you're going to war. Your life is at stake. It's easy to follow God when nothing is at stake. It's easy to make a decision for Jesus when all is well. But Gideon now needs to make a decision. And his life, he's going to war. His life is at stake. Fear does something. My friend, Matt Parra, said long ago when I Bible worked with him, he said, it was easy for me to give my heart to Jesus because I was at an ultimate low. But now I have a family, I have kids, I have stuff. And when God asks for all, it's harder. Even though he was doing Bible work at the time, even though he was pastoring at the time. It's easy to give God when you have nothing. But when you have accumulated goods and family, that's why Abraham's call in Genesis 22 was extremely hard. Give your only begotten son. He treasured his son. God is calling us to give all. And if we can't give all, it's because we have the same problem Gideon has. We don't want to sacrifice self. Fear has a contagion rate that is higher than the most infectious disease because it can be transmitted by the senses rather than biological particles that infect people when they get sick. This fear contagion is found in both animals and humans. Imagine with me an antelope on the plains of Africa. They're there with all his buddies, and they're enjoying that fresh grass after those spring rains. And they're just, this stuff is good. And this antelope is chowing down. And the first one that notices danger in the presence, he sniffs and smells this body odor. And he knows it well. Nothing smells like this. This body odor has never taken a bath in its life. Sometimes we wonder about the boys' dorm. I just scored points with the girls' dorm, and I got points taken away from the boys' dorm. Smells a lion, looks and sees it, freezes for a second, yells in its antelope kind of way a warning call, and books. All the other antelopes haven't seen the lion, but they run. Why? Because fear is contagious. When there is mass multitudes in sports arenas or concerts, and when fear spreads, people run and trample. We have seen this at soccer games and such, and people get trampled. As Gideon talked to those two-thirds, fear, 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 contagious. They recited the horrific things they saw the Midianites do in the past 7 years. They saw how their weaponry isn't as skillful or isn't as crafted as well as the Midianites. They see all these things. And then, I believe, fear crippled Gideon in that moment. According to the Bible, Gideon was affected by fear. And that is why he threw a fleece on the ground. A fleece woven in fear. In the American Journal of Managed Care, the AJMC, it states what fear can do to a person, and just a few of them, the potential consequences of chronic fear on spiritual health. This was given by a distinguished nurse studying at a doctorate level. Bitterness, fear toward God and others. Loss of trust in God and or clergy. Waiting for God to fix it. Despair related to perceived lost spirituality. Confusion. Disgust with God or religion. It's interesting. Gideon was affected by fear. He was confused. He lost his trust. This is why he threw the fleece. He was confused about God. If you were to look at all of Genesis 6, and you would see how Gideon relates to God over and over, Gideon refers to God as Lord, capital L, capital R, capital D. That is his name, Yahweh or Jehovah. But when we get to the fleece encounter, after everyone comes, after the fear comes, Judges chapter 6, 36 through 40, he doesn't use God's name. He only uses the more generic term for God, Elohim, God. This tells us he's having a faith crisis. This tells us that fear can cause us to lose our handle on the person of God. And so I feel, and when God answers the fleece, he restarts using the personal aspect of God's name in the rest of the narrative. When we are plagued with fear, it will distort how we relate to God. So if fear has been pumped into you this year, you're going to struggle with a personal relationship with God. When our view of God changes, then we will struggle to trust his word. And that is what happened to Gideon. The message to Gideon was crystal clear, but fear took control. Do we struggle with fear? There are some shortcomings with capitalism. There is no perfect form of government that will be sinless with sinners. Now, I'm not claiming that capitalism is the best form or the worst form. I'm just indicating that there's a shortfall. Just making myself very clear because people can get their feathers raised when I mention a critique on capitalism. Just remember, I'm just mentioning a critique. It's in our news networks. Our news networks are fueled by ratings and money. And so what happens is, the main focus of our news networks is not facts. It's ratings. But they have to get good facts, or else no one's going to tune out. So they're balancing between facts and ratings. This isn't new news. I mean, if you would just research this for the last 30 years or four decades, there's been peer-reviewed journals that talked about our news agencies in America. This isn't some sort of new phenomenon that happened in the last 5 years. This has been a problem in America. And this is one of the problems with capitalism, because money wins. So the listener, they try to hook the listener with a teaser. For example, what's in your tap water that you need to know about? What happens in your brain? There's something wrong with my tap water? What is it? Fear has sparked. What if I'm drinking poison? Fear. And then you're hooked, because they're going to give you the solution. And nothing hooks a listener more than revealing that they may not be safe. And what comes next? Fear. There are several other techniques that news outlets are using to increase their ratings, and many of them result in spreading fear. Now, look with a critical eye at a news outlet website, or most likely the stuff that has visuals. And just determine, and I'm not picking on the left news outlet or the right news outlet. They both do it because they both need ratings. The right news outlets do it just as much as the left, because they need people hooked to watch their news. So if we are continually watching the news, especially when we were at home a lot of the time last year, more and more news about the pandemic and the uncertainty, and fear seeps in. And why did we do that? Because we wanted to know what was going on. We wanted to know the latest results. Then we were constantly being bombarded with messages that lead to fear. Imagine if this happened in the animal kingdom to that poor antelope. Every time this antelope stopped, then there was a new tweet about the lion is coming closer. Or he sees on the Facebook post, lion kills baby brother right behind you. What would happen every time he pauses to take a break? A message of fear comes, runs again. Message of fear comes, runs again. What would happen to the antelope? He would probably die by running too much. This is what happens. And this is what's happening in American society. We're being inundated with messages of fear. This wasn't just the past pandemic. This is for the last 40 years. People are feeling like every place is unsafe. Someone texts me messages about bear attacks. They say, I'll never go to camping because bear attacks. It's very unlikely you'll see a bear in Michigan that will attack you. But it could happen, so fear keeps people from the beauty of the woods. There's a book I read, it was called The Last Child in the Woods. It's this pandemic of fear when it comes to nature. People don't want to be in nature because, you know, poison ivy grows legs, attacks somebody. And we believe it. There's this fear. The interesting thing is, in that journal that I just talked about, you know what happens when you pump people with fear? Their immune system goes down drastically. Funny. So the pandemic was pumping people with fear in the news outlets, and then our immune system suffers if we're too afraid, making us more prone to be getting sick. So from an article I read, propagandists work under the assumption that people eventually believe what they most often hear. The constant hyping of culture of fear has rhetorically scared otherwise reasonable Americans into rational, emotional behaviors. We have seen this with the toilet paper shortage. What in the world? I got fearful that I was going to be in a bathroom without toilet paper. I went to Amazon and I bought a crate full. And I was grateful. It has been said that if civilized societies, quoting, civilized societies degenerate under fearful conditions, what about the church? In fearful societies, great empires see their demise. What about the church? Now, Gideon did not have media, but he had the Midianites. And he was around 20,000 fearful people. Can we relate to Gideon in our culture? We wonder why faith is at an all-time low when our mass media is producing fear at an all-time high. We wonder why reading the Bible is decreasing in Christian faith circles. The heightened fear is creating a culture that questions the existence of God because we're so terrified of everything. This part tells about the fear that squeezed out faith in God as we read the Gideon story. Then the lack of faith questioned the very person and integrity of God, where when Gideon did a prayer fleece, he couldn't even use God's personal name. He lost sight of the person of God. What do people need when they are infected with widespread fear? They need a fresh revelation of a God who cares. The fleece story is not about knowing the will of God. It's about knowing God. What is God communicating to us when He is working with Gideon? The story communicates that God is infinitely patient with Gideon and us. God knew, He spelled it very clearly to Gideon. And if I was God at that moment, I would probably slap him and say, "You fool, get with it." That's why I'm not God. But what does He do? God says in Psalm 103, verse 14, "For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows that we don't have all the answers." And Gideon didn't have all the answers. What did Gideon have? Did Gideon have the Bible? No. Did Gideon have the sanctuary service right next to him? He didn't even have that. Did Gideon have the revelation of the Son of God? Did Gideon have the Gospels? Did Gideon understand the beautiful love of Jesus? He didn't have that. All he had is what we know what the Bible says. He remembered the stories of the Exodus. And he questioned God. God was incredibly patient with Gideon. Gideon almost uses a semi-pagan understanding of God with a fleece. And God doesn't rebuke him for that. God works with him. We serve an amazing God. Even when we're fearful, God is very patient with us. Even when we question His very existence, God is very patient with us. Even when we pray to Him and we don't even know how to pray to Him, God is very patient with us. Now, may the God, this is Romans 15:5, may the God of patience comfort and grant you to be like-minded toward one another. I love that Bible. Romans 15:5 says, the God of patience. I'm very thankful that God is patient with me. Another point, how this story helps me. This story illustrates that God is more interested in the salvation of His people. He's more interested in my salvation than His leaders are, than I am. Did you know that God is more interested in your salvation than you are in your own salvation? And Gideon gets worked with. God is determined to use him. God wants to use him. He's patient. He walks with him. He works with him. He puts training wheels on that poor brother so he doesn't fall and stumble, because God wants him to be part of the salvation of Israel against the Midianites. Did you know God is extremely patient with you, and He wants you to know that He wants you to be part of that picture and that plan to help His cause out? Another point, this story reveals that God is not to be feared like the enemy, but revered as the most loving being in the universe. Isaiah 41 verse 10, listen to this. "Fear not, for I am with you." That's what He communicated to Gideon. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I would recommend, if you're a heavy news watcher, that you would engrave this on the glass of your TV. Engrave it big. So through the messages that have potential fear woven in them, now you may think, oh, I'm against news. No, news is good. Just for those of you who are curious, oh, the pastor hates news. It's not what I'm saying. But we need a filter so we don't get fearful, overly fearful, when we watch news. We need to be informed, yes. But we need to read the news through the filter of Christ. We need to listen to the news through the filter of Christ. Continues, yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The fleece woven in fear is about fulfilling God's message. I feel that one of the reasons why we are not fulfilling God's message today is because some of us are paralyzed from the fear of what's going on around. I don't want to go to Portland because there's riots. I don't want to go into public areas because of a disease. And we're paralyzed from finishing the gospel work. Gideon did not have the tools and knowledge that we have, so God treated him in a special way. We have the Bible. We have the revelation of Christ. And nobody has faced the fears that Christ has faced. So if you want to know how to face fear, read the gospel's last few chapters. There is no fear like the fear of going to a cross without your heavenly Father. And that's what Jesus went through. So if you want to know how to face fears, follow Jesus. The devil wants Seventh-day Adventists to be in fear because he wants to stall the mission. We don't need a fleece woven in fear because we serve a God who conquered the greatest fear. We don't need a fleece woven in fear to determine the will of God because it is clearly known what he wants us to do in Scripture. The devil needs a world in fear so he can bring about the greatest destruction with regards to the mark of the beast. We know, I never realized it before, but how is the world going to be on point with the mark of the beast? It's going to be fear. It's going to be fear. And we see systems bringing that fear about. We need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We don't want to be reckless. We want to be wise. But God is raising up people in these walls who will stand up and say, I'm not going to let this fear control me. Because the message and the gospel of Jesus is bigger than that. 1 John 4:8 and 1 John 5:4 are the last two verses for this message. There is no fear in love. And where is the best picture of love? It's the revelation of Jesus on the cross. We don't see a better and most wonderful picture of love. For there's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith connects to the love of God, and that determines how we live. So be careful if you consume lots of media without the filter of Jesus. Be careful. I'm wondering the next generation, they're going to be so fearful because all the news and all everything's around them is, you got to fear this and fear that and everything's fear. And this last year, completely changing the way people think. It's fear first, faith second. This message is to say, let's put faith first and fear second. We serve a mighty God who can deliver you from the worst of the worst. Let's give our hearts to God. May He encourage us in faith and love so that love, perfect love, can cast out whatever fear is inside. We're human. We all fear something. We all fear something that jeopardizes our relationship with God. At this moment, let's really be honest with what really causes us to fear. I went through a few examples, but there's a whole lot more. And let's give the Holy Spirit a moment to speak to your heart. Father, Gideon, wove his fleece in fear. He forgot about the person of you, doubted your word, didn't think it could come to pass because of the contagion of fear. And I see that this is a fitting message, Lord, and an encouragement that you're very patient with us, that you still want to see our salvation better than we want to see it. And that you are the most loving being in the universe of how you handled Gideon. But we fear. We're not going to battle, but we fear. And I pray, Father, that you would take away that fear by the fact that we accept Jesus in a stronger way right now. And the very pulse of accepting Jesus pushes out fear. Thank you. Thank you for giving us a message that deals with the times of today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to Pastor Jacob Gibbs, pastor of the Cedar Lake Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Cedar Lake Seventh-day Adventist Church at 7260 North Academy Road in Cedar Lake, Michigan. And their church services begin at 10:50 a.m. This is a Strong Tower Radio production.